Picture a tense confrontation between two tech titans. Steve Jobs, furious, accuses Bill Gates of theft. Gates could have denied, deflected, or defended. Instead, he offered this gem. I think it's more like we both had this rich neighbor named Xerox, and I broke into his house to steal the TV set and found out you had already stolen it. In one sentence, he diffused the tension, acknowledged reality, and reframed the entire conversation. This is negotiation at its finest, not the rigid, formulaic dance we've been taught, but something far more fluid and alive. For decades, we've approached negotiation like chess players, memorizing opening gambits and endgame strategies. We've been told to identify our BATNA, focus on interests rather than positions, and separate people from problems. These frameworks aren't wrong, they're just incomplete. Real negotiation resembles jazz improvisation more than chess. The music changes as you play. Your counterpart introduces unexpected notes. The rhythm shifts beneath your feet. Success depends not on following a predetermined script, but on your ability to listen, adapt, and create something new in the moment. You rarely know what you truly want until you're negotiating. House hunters exceed budgets after touring properties that redefine home. Their maximum wasn't fixed. It was a guess before reality intervened. Traditional theory assumes pre-planning works. Know your interests, identify alternatives, calculate walkaway points. But power dynamics shift mid-conversation. New information surfaces. Emotions override spreadsheets. Ambassador Richard Holbrooke called negotiation more like jazz than science. When Jay Sheldon couldn't buy his target cable company, he pivoted and purchased a different one instead. This wasn't failure. It was adaptive brilliance. The solution isn't abandoning preparation. It's preparing differently. Build flexible frameworks instead of rigid plans. Anticipate multiple scenarios. Recognize that goals evolve and your BATNA might look completely different at the table. Like soldiers lost in the Alps who survived using a Pyrenees map, sometimes having any map beats having none, as long as you don't mistake the map for the territory. Negotiation isn't a line between two prices. It's a triangle. One boundary is your baseline, barely better than walking away. Another is your counterpart's baseline. And the third represents real-world constraints like legal limits or market realities. Within this triangle lies the zone of possible agreements. When Karen negotiated with QX Data, she mapped equivalent packages, different combinations of salary, benefits, stock options, and bonuses that each met her threshold. This flexibility transformed the negotiation from a tug-of-war over one number into exploring creative combinations. When her high salary request threatened pay scales, she suggested a performance bonus instead. Different path, same destination. These boundaries shift. When timber prices spiked during a home construction project, both parties recalibrated. Sometimes you can expand the deal space by addressing constraints together, like rezoning land to benefit both parties. Your baseline is a floor, not a ceiling. Set a stretch goal to avoid settling too cheaply. Information asymmetry creates advantage. Whoever sees the deal space more clearly gains leverage. This explains why negotiators guard their true priorities. Don Schnabel assembled nearly 20 Manhattan properties for Citibank's headquarters through strategic backward mapping, starting with his goal and working backward. He created straw company Lexman Realty to hide Citibank's involvement and prevent price inflation. When competitor Manny Dwells secured key properties, Schnabel bought him out while securing a mortgage on Dwells' other property as collateral, ensuring no future interference. Schnabel hopped around the block like a Monopoly player, strategically sequencing acquisitions to prevent holdouts. He honored the church's tenant protections, arranged comfortable relocation for elderly sisters, built a two-year relationship with a reclusive bachelor, and created a stock merger for tax-conscious doctors. Even experienced negotiators harbor deep anxieties. Research revealed striking patterns. Successful negotiators, worried about unpredictability and vulnerability, saw themselves as prey and others as predators, and judged their own tactics as clever while viewing identical behavior from others as dishonest. Great negotiators balance three essential paradoxes: being calm yet alert, patient yet proactive, practical yet creative. These aren't trade-offs, but complementary qualities. Vigilance spots warning signs, while calmness diffuses tension. Patience builds trust, while initiative prevents others from controlling the agenda. When overwhelmed by negative thoughts, negotiators choke like athletes under pressure. The inner game of tennis reveals how an internal critic devastates performance. Active focusing techniques create concentration by displacing internal distractions with outward focus, fully attending to your counterpart's words, posture, and expressions. Emotional preparation is as crucial as market research. Ask yourself, what do I want to feel going into this negotiation? What can throw me off balance? How can I regain balance mid-negotiation? Understanding your emotional hot buttons and having reset strategies, like shifting conversation topics when stuck, helps maintain peak performance. Jazz musician Wynton Marsalis describes his art as negotiation, where musicians create improvised art and negotiate their agendas with each other. Like jazz players responding to unexpected notes, negotiators must absorb tone, expressions, and posture, what Herbie Hancock calls listening with my toes. During the Korean War, American F-86 Sabre jets won over 90% of dogfights against superior Russian MiG-15s. Colonel John Boyd discovered this dominance came from hydraulic controls enabling quicker transitions and bubble canopies providing better situational awareness. He developed the OODA loop, observing, orienting, deciding, and acting, showing how success in dynamic interactions depends on cycling through these steps faster than opponents. The best negotiators possess uncanny social sonar, spotting interpersonal dynamics others miss, noticing misaligned team members, or distinguishing genuine resistance from tactical posturing. Being provocative means taking initiative. Follow the 80-20 rule. Remain 80% within your comfort zone for confidence, but push 20% beyond it to stay alert and creative. Begin with provisional theories about the negotiation, but hold them lightly enough to adapt when evidence suggests otherwise. When Daniel Yin negotiated his brother Steven's ransom, his initial $50,000 offer wasn't meant for acceptance. It anchored expectations. He gradually increased offers in small increments, signaling resources without appearing desperate. UN diplomat Lakhdar Brahimi divides negotiations into three zones: the impossible, non-negotiable, the free, available without concession, and the middle ground where real negotiation happens. This framework focuses energy productively. Consider two negotiators competing for the same contract. Margaret won but remains anxious and self-critical. Richard lost yet feels at peace. Maximizers achieve better outcomes through relentless examination but experience less satisfaction, while satisficers feel content but might miss opportunities. Judging negotiation success is difficult because we never know what was truly possible. Negotiation is a wicked learning environment, offering ambiguous signals that can teach wrong lessons. Five tests distinguish right from wrong. Could you recommend everyone act this way? Would you want this treatment? Are you comfortable if your actions were politicized? Would you tell your family? Is this how you want to be remembered? Brahimi describes a fundamental duality, being simultaneously arrogant and humble. Arrogance means believing impossible problems can be solved. Humility means recognizing human limitations. Your strategy isn't a straitjacket, it's a starting point. Your emotions aren't obstacles, they're signals. Your counterpart isn't an adversary, they're a partner in creating something neither could build alone.